being very self-conscious about a lot of things. Like, there would be something, I'm just going to pause for a second, wait everybody for everybody to get the handout. We become the movement to calm down, and we can focus in. So now is your opportunity. If you would like a handout, come and grab one. All right, perfect. And I remember being very self-conscious about a lot of things, and if there's something, there'd be something wrong with my face, and my parents would be like, hey, you know what? Honey, don't worry about it. No one's going to notice. And I'm like, you do not know my best friend, right? As soon as I step out of the car, they're like, dude, what's wrong? What's up with Mount Vesuvius on your chin? It's about to erupt, right? And so, like, then everybody starts making fun of you. They laugh. And, like, I remember being self-conscious about the way I walked. I actually remember having this thought, why do I walk like a newborn giraffe, right? Like, my legs were, like, all uncoordinated. I grew 9 inches in my ninth grade year, so I was very uncoordinated. I remember in my teenage years, a lot of things are awkward. A lot of things are weird. And I remember what it was like at this stage of my life. I pulled out some of my old high school yearbooks. That's me in high school. And on the bottom right, you'll see this is the first time I ever preached. And the paper is like blurry, mainly because I was shaking so much. I was so nervous. And it was blurry and I was shaking. I remember what it was like to change from like being a little baby. Aw, look how cute I was. Does that look like Michaela, by the way? That's me as a baby. So I remember growing up and all the different stages of life, and there's a lot of awkward things, there's a lot of things that I had to learn, and who makes someone dress up like Uncle Sam like that and stand in front of hundreds of people? That's me in the top right. Very embarrassing. It was one of my high school plays, and I was like super tall, skinny, looks like I was on stilts, but I wasn't. I was really awkward, looked like a giraffe. There's a lot of difficult things we go through as we grow up. And there's an unbelievable amount of changes going on in your lives. I mean, it is for all of us, right? There's all changes that are happening all the time. And all of the above situations that I've just talked about, a lot of you can relate to them. We're self-conscious. And in the grand scheme of life, though, if you think about it, all of them really aren't that big of a deal. Especially now looking back, to me, I'm like, I can't believe I was so worked up about that. But a lot of times they feel like a big deal, right? And I'm not here to minimize feelings or hurts or pains or anything like that, because things are awkward in high school and as you grow and as you get older. But as we think about it in the grand scheme of life, it's really not that big of a deal, because what about the family that called the church 2 Thursdays ago that didn't have a church and their family member unexpectedly died and they were just wanting a pastor to come and pray with them? What about the young couple who just gets married, they're excited about starting a family, and they find out that they can't have kids? What about the father of three who's 37 years old that I know, who's my high school teacher, who goes into the doctor one day, everything's fine, but then he's diagnosed the next day with stage 4 colon cancer? When we compare all of our everyday situations and difficulties, really they're not that big of a deal. What about the parent, the teenager whose parents just got divorced and their family's torn apart? Some of you can relate to that, some of you can't, but we need to be sensitive to those things. What about the teenager who grew up not even knowing who one or both of his parents were? And there's some people like that in our church. There's all kinds of difficulties that come up. And what about, and I could go on listing all these trials, but how about you just fill in the blank? And you can do so with something that applies to you. Something that's one of your biggest struggles. So how about we say this? What about the teenager that, and you fill in the blank for your life? That's why we're here. We're here to take truths from God's word and apply them to your life. And hey, maybe they're not the huge ones that we just talked about. Whatever it is for you, you fill in the blank. What about the teenager you that's struggling with? Take a second to think about that. Is there a trial or a struggle that you are facing right now? Maybe it's something that's happened in the past. Maybe it's just the effects of a trauma that's happened in the past. And maybe there's trials and struggles. And we are all desperate for acceptance, aren't we? How do we deal with all these struggles and trials? We're desperate for acceptance, for one thing. We need love, but also we're afraid about our futures. All of us are. And in spite of all this, we need stability. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to go through some principles that give us stability, even in the times of trouble and struggles. And guys, they're coming. If they haven't come already for you, they will come. We need stability, so where does it come from? And ultimately, the stability comes from time with God and His Word. So, we need a rock Look at this verse in Matthew 7. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So guys, sing the children's song with me, right? The wise man, let's sing it. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon... Guys, do the hand motion. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. Guys, there's all kinds of truth in that. And I know you felt stupid doing it. I felt really stupid in front of you doing that song. But guys, there's all kinds of truth in that song. It is from this verse. And sometimes we take the little kid songs, we're like, you know what, that's a truth for little kids. And we kind of put it back in the back of our minds, and we don't remember the truth that's given in those verses. Jesus says, if you listen to my words and do them, this is what you're likened unto. A house that's built upon a rock. And when the storms come, when trials come, and they're going to blow hard, guys, the wind's going to blow hard, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Stability only occurs when you are anchored to God's words. You've got to have a foundation for when those times come. And that's one reason our Youth Group motto is this: know God and support one another, because you've got to know God. You've got to be anchored to Him and who He is and His attributes and His faithfulness and His goodness and His love and His mercy. All those things we praise God for this morning. Father, as we come to you, I just pray that you would calm our hearts this morning, that you would give me wisdom as I speak, that you'd have our hearts be soft and tender to your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you take the truths that you give us and help us to be stable, that we would be founded upon a rock, and you are the rock of ages. And our lives can be founded upon you, and there's many times when things happen in our lives when we are caused to doubt who you are and doubt the promises you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this series that you'd help us to have stability, even when things are difficult, that we would be able to trust in you who is our rock. In Christ's name, amen. So in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is using the illustration of a physical house. And what does a physical house do? It protects you, right? It protects you from the elements, from rain, from storms. It protects you from burglars coming in. It protects you. And in this four-week series, we're going to be considering some truths that provide protection and stability even in the time of trouble for our hearts and for our minds. Now, Paul Chappell, he wrote a book, and it's called Making Homework. And he uses this diagram. Now, granted, this is mainly directed towards parents, but it's applicable for all of us. Vision your life as a house. So we need protection and stability, and obviously our foundation needs to be scriptural truth. We need to be founded upon God's Word. God's Word is never going to be changing. We're not going to be chasing a moving target. God's Word is that ultimate, steadfast, unchanging truth. But he also points out that a foundation for a Christian, something that we've got to be founded on, is loving acceptance. And I'm going to tie that back to Scripture, but we need to feel love, right? It gives stability. If you're to talk to people who really are struggling with addiction or depression, a lot of times it's because they don't feel love. And a lot of times that comes from different circumstances in their life. But a supporting wall to this protection that God gives us and a stability in our lives is time in nurture. Now, what does that mean? He pulled this principle from Ephesians 6, verse 4, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But it's applicable here. We need encouragement. That word nurture carries the idea of encouragement and lifting up. So again, a supporting wall for our lives is, hey, we need to be encouraged, but also loving admonition. And that is really comes from the root of speaking about specific instruction. So you need people to come alongside of you and nurture and encourage you, but also to set boundaries and to give that admonition and instruction and discipline. And that's where stability comes from. There's boundaries within love and scriptural truth, giving the truth in love. But also, and this is big for us as teenagers, one of the biggest things that gives us stability biblically is biblical authority. God has placed people in your lives to act as that roof of your stability and protection while you're young, to guide you, to protect you, to give you instruction and admonition. And so guys, you have parents, you have pastors, you have teachers, you have people who are godly examples who God has placed in your life, and He wants you to submit to that biblical authority. And if you're to look at our society today, you're going to see all kinds of rebellion against authority, right? Hey, you can't tell me how to live my life. This is my body. I'm going to use it how I want to. You hear, that's a cry of our society. And now even one of the most subjective things in the world, people will rebel against God and say, you can't even tell me what gender I am. And really, as I've been studying and praying through this, and one of the biggest things that I think is a need for us, as for you as young people, and even for me as a young adult, there are authorities in my life that I need to learn to submit to. And God has placed those authorities in your life to protect you. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 7. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Place yourselves under them, for they watch for your souls. That's their role. But also listen to this. As they that must give account. So guys, your authorities, they have to give account for the way that they lead you. And granted, sometimes they don't do it perfectly. But if they're a godly authority, and an authority that God has placed in your life, you need to do your best to submit yourselves to them. Because they watch for your souls, they are there for your protection, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So remember, when you are tempted in your heart to rebel against authority, they're there for your protection, and they're there to watch for your souls. So that's where we get stability from. That's the overall picture there. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, he's talking about the teachings he just gave, and do with them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. There's our foundation. That's where we get stability. A wise man builds his house in the words of God. That gives stability and strength. Stability for you can only occur when you are grounded and anchored to God's words. That's the overall picture that we're going to be going for in this four-week study. Because, read the next two verses. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let's be honest, a lot of you in this room have a lot of biblical knowledge. Do you listen to it and do you do it? Or would you be likened unto a foolish man? Then when something uncomfortable for you comes, as soon as you graduate high school or go to college or leave your parents' house, great is the fall of it. That's a pretty bold statement. Do you listen to the commands of Jesus Christ and do them? That's the only way you're going to have stability. If you build on anything other than the words of Christ, what's going to happen? Give a little participation. And you don't have to, I mean, I could give example after example, but what's going to happen if you don't build your life on the stable foundation of God's Word? I kind of already gave the answer. There's not going to be stability. You guys are going to be shaky. You're going to have a lot of doubts. There's no stability, and great was the fall of it. Now, one of my good friends and mentors, Ken Collier, a lot of you have heard his name before. I worked with him for 4 years. He was a big influence on my life. He's put together four stabilizing truths from the Bible. So I want to give him credit. I'm kind of basing some of the series on them. He's given a sentence, and I've kind of expanded it. So we're going to study through them for the next 4 weeks. And he explains that we need to change the way that we think, especially when it comes to trials. Now, he kind of uses an illustration very similar to this. In the eyes of the world, America is very, very weird, right? If you look at this map, most of the world, pretty much all of the rest of the world uses Celsius, except for America. We use Fahrenheit. A lot of the rest of the world uses the metric system. We don't. And so we think differently about different measurements than a lot of the world does. So let's just say that if America changed the metric system, we would be a little peeved, wouldn't we? Right? We'd be a little upset. When you went to the gas tank to pump gas, what would your gas come out in out of the pump? It would come out in liters, right? I have no clue how big of a liter is. All I know is like a 1 liter of soda. That's all I have to compare it to. So I'd be a little upset because all of a sudden now I'd have to start doing math. I wouldn't know if I was getting ripped off by the price, or if it was a good price, or if I was getting a good deal. So now what I would have to do is I'd have to learn how to convert that old system of thinking in gallons into liters. And I would have to do the math to be able to take the price and filter it through that. So the old habitual way of thinking about that price of gas or whatever it else would be, gallons of milk, whatever system we use, a football field would no longer be 100 yards. We'd have to come up with a meter system of it. We'd have to completely change the way we think. Now, in much the same way, God wants us to take the habitual way that we think about problems, especially trials and tribulations, And he wants us to filter them through biblical truth. We'd have to use a conversion table. And the Bible gives us truths that we can take trials and struggles and filter them through these truths so that we can have stability. Look at James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Hey, when you have a lot of trials, many different trials, count it all joy. A lot of us look at that and we're like, that's not natural. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So guys, is that how we naturally think about struggles and trials and problems? No. We have to filter it through biblical truth. And people don't say, yay, I just got a flat tire, right? People aren't pumped about trials and even small... I didn't even do that on purpose. So people aren't pumped about a flat tire, okay? They're not excited about the trials that come into their lives. So instead of thinking about things God's way, what do we tend to do? We tend to lean into our own understanding. We don't rely on God. We try to figure out, why would God do this? Why would a good God do this bad thing in my life? Or allow this bad thing to happen? And when we do that, we are relying on the old habitual way of thinking, the natural way of thinking. We are not thinking the way that God wants us to think. We struggle to filter hard things through the filter of God's Word. So again, the only way we're going to get stability is by founding ourselves on the Word of God. So going back to the illustration, if the USA switched to the metric system, those people who took the time and effort to learn the way to convert it, they'd get along pretty well. They'd do fine. But what if you were here and you're like, you know what? I'm not learning it. I'm not going to learn this new metric system. You're going to struggle, aren't you? You're not going to be able to figure out the math on a lot of different things. And you, a lot of times that's how we are. You know what? I refuse to learn how to think about struggles and trials the way God wants me to. You can plug it into anything, not even just trials or struggles. I don't want to take the time to think about this, fill in the blank, the way that God does. And we start to try to think and lean into our own understanding. And if we do not think the way that God thinks, we will be constantly frustrated and angry, especially when life throws us curveballs. And so right now when you're young, we're going to talk about some truths that if you can nail them down and when hard things come, you can filter them through these principles, and you can have stability. Ken Collier, he organizes these four truths, how we can have stability in an unstable world. Because guys, our world is unstable. You know that better than most. Unexpected things happen. If we filter our struggles through these truths, we can convert those problems into opportunities for growth and evangelism. God can give us opportunities. And this morning, we're going to look at truth number one. And we've only got about 10 minutes. But truth number one is very simple. It's one we praise God for this morning. God's love for me is unchanging. When hard things come into your life, what is typically the first thing that we start to doubt? What is it? Does God really care about me? Does God really love me? If God loved me, He would not have done this. If God really cared, this would not be happening to me. And so guys, when you take this truth that God's love for me is unchanging, there is nothing that you can do to make God love you less, and there's nothing that you can do to make God love you more. Nothing can happen in your life that is going to make God love you less. Nothing can happen that's going to make God love you more. This has got to be something that you anchor your lives to. That's the only thing you're going to have stability. The only way. So let's relook at this diagram. Scriptural truth and loving acceptance have to be the foundation. And God always loves us, and He always accepts us through Jesus Christ. That must be our foundation. God's word and loving acceptance are vital to having security and feeling secure. The following letter was written by an anonymous author in 2013. It's pretty powerful. I'm going to read it to you. My own mother doesn't love me. I remember the first time she told me that. I was 11, and I'd just come home from a day of school. I was standing in my room in tears, and she was in the hallway, and we were arguing about something that I can't even remember now. I think it had something to do with my little sister. I said to her, "You don't even love me, or at least you don't act like you do." And I remember what she said back so clearly. "You're right. I don't love you." And she walked off. I collapsed on my bed in tears. I cried myself to sleep that night. And guys, that is unimaginable hurt for most of us to even relate to. For a parent to say, I don't love you. A lot of that girl's stability just got yanked out from underneath of her. And without Christ, she's going to be unstable. But we can be anchored to the fact that God always loves us. And guys, I don't want to minimize the hurt that that girl is going through. Something that is going to take any of us back. But the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. She was getting beaten up with words. She can still stand because God's love never changes. She can have stability. Even though the same circumstances happened to both of those houses in the little kid's song, one stood firm and the other fell down and collapsed and fell apart. And that's our lives. Jesus likens to that if we're not founded upon the rock of ages. So guys, in this person's life, the person that was supposed to love her most said the exact opposite. And she actually goes on in this letter to say, the rest of my life, it's been spiraling out of control. My stability was lost that day. I've been chasing stability and acceptance through all these other ways, and I can't find it. So guys, if this person's parents do not love her, where is she supposed to find that stability? Look at this verse, Psalm 27:10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. She can be stable. It's hard. I'm not going to minimize it. That is hurtful. That is painful. But she can have stability by trusting that one truth that God's love for me never changes. So guys, even if our stability doesn't come from earthly relationships, you can have stability because of God's deep love for you that was proved through the cross. So when something bad happens in the life of a believer, often one of the first things, again, we said this before, is to doubt God's love. We've got to be anchored to His words, because God's word professes His unchanging love to you. God says it over and over and over and over again in the Bible, that He loves us with an unchanging love. Do you believe those promises? Or do you kind of just shrug them off? Do you truly believe them? Look at Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Do you know what everlasting means? Forever. It's not going to change. It's not going to go away. He's not going to stop. God promises you, and He professes with His words, I will never stop loving you. So even when you don't feel love from people, this can be a stabilizing truth that God's love never changes. And He doesn't just say that He loves us. His actions proved it. He proved His unchanging love to you. And I always started to randomly say to my kids, hey, look me in the eyes. They'd look me in the eyes, and I'd say to them, hey, you know what? Daddy loves you. So after a while, and they'd say it back to me. So after a while, I got to the point where I can just say, hey, Colton, look me in the eyes. And he goes, I love you too, Daddy. I don't even have to say it. Why? Because I've said it so many times, my words have professed it, but hopefully, and I do fail, I'm not the perfect example of this, my actions have proved to him that I love him. And I can have, and he has stability in that relationship. Nothing, that's all by God's grace. But God has proved his love to us. Now, a lot of times preachers talk a lot about verses. I'm just going to give some verses and let God talk. Okay? Listen to what God says. Here in his love, that we loved God. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, that's a big word. Anybody know what that word propitiation for our sins means? I want us to understand it. What's it mean? Yeah, Kendall. The payment, but he appeased God's wrath. So he was the propitiation for our sins. God has wrath towards sin, but Christ appeased it. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God proved it to us by sending his son. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, there's his action, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's already given you the most precious gift, proved his love in the most valuable way by giving his son. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Hey, when bad things happen, does it mean God doesn't love you? Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Bad things are going to happen to us. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, our futures, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That can give you stability. When your world is rocked, that gives you stability. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. This is how he showed it. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So guys, as we close here, I want us to think together. I want us to apply it together. How? And you're going to be as transparent as you're comfortable with. How can God's unchanging love give you stability? And I want you to think. I want you to give some feedback. Maybe apply it to something specific. And again, you can be as transparent as you want to be here, as long as it's appropriate. How does God's love give you stability? And again, I'm not afraid of silence. I'm going to stop talking and let you think. You are called, with the Holy Spirit's help, to apply God's word to your life. Let's do it. Yes?
We're free from having to try to earn it.
Yeah. If I mess up and I had to earn my salvation or God's love, I would feel really uncertain about my relationship with God. I'm stable with him because I know it's through Christ. I don't have to earn it. What else? How can God's unchanging love give you stability? Kendall.
Even if things that we put a lot of trust in, like friends and family, get taken away or shaken, like the story of the girl, we can know that God's love is always there.
Yeah, and that's one of the main applications, guys. We can't get our stability from people. People and circumstances are unstable and they're changing. God does not change. Maybe a family member lets you down. God will take you up. Anything else? Yes, Annika.
Our actions won't be based on
our emotions. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think what she's saying here, further application, is when we respond to situations, oftentimes we do it in an emotional way. And I can back up and come back to this truth that I can be anchored to God's love. And not just that I don't feel loved by God. Checking my interpretation. Yes. Yeah, it doesn't matter how cool or popular you are. Even if other people don't think you're cool and popular, God still loves you. It's unchanging. Anything else? Take one or two more. Because again, I want you guys to think a little bit. You guys do a lot in church of sitting and taking in. Let's encourage, exhort one another. Anything else? One more. Yes, Mary. Yeah, taking it a step further. When I learn about who God is, that should change the way that I live. And so when God's love for me is unchanging, my love for other people should be unchanging. It's not just who I think is cool or popular, or who I think hasn't offended me enough that I need to show love to. I need to show love to people. That's what God has called me to do. So again, guys, stability only occurs when you are anchored to God's words. And God's words tell you he loves you, and his actions have proved it. So when trials come, when the storms rage, be anchored to that. You can have stability even when things all around you are unexpected and unstable. Father, we come to you and thank you that through your word, you have continually and consistently professed your undying and unchanging love for us. That even in while we were sinners, you died for us. You took our place. And Lord, I pray that you'd embed that truth in our hearts. That would be something that we could come back to, even when things in our lives are in turmoil. And Lord, give us stability. It's only through you, in Christ's name. Amen. So if you're going to the forum, if you could see me and...